The text for our sermon today comes from our gospel reading. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The to-do list, it comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. The chores list, the errands list, the honey-do's, fix the car, do the laundry, clean your room, do your homework, and the like. It's either loved or hated. It just depends if you're the one giving the to-do list or if you're the one receiving it. But there's a nice thing about to-do lists. They help get things done. They help make things manageable. And I suspect that we all secretly love them. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a sort of to-do list for your life? A sort of manual of what you need to do in order to have a good life. And we only need to go to a bookstore to find out that this is what people want. You only have to see what the latest top seller is, with enough self-help books to cause your head to spin. The 7-step, the 10-step, the 32-step. Which program will help me have my best life now? People are seeking a sort of to-do list for life. Well, in our text today, Jesus is talking to a lawyer, an expert in the law, and he seeks a sort of to-do list for eternal life. This expert in the law wants to test Jesus, and he asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Perhaps a list, something like the Ten Commandments. So Jesus encounters this lawyer on his home turf, the law, the very thing that he knows best. And he asks him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he responds with the two greatest commandments. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." This doesn't really sound like a list. Rather, it sounds like do one thing and do it perfectly. Love. But here's the troubling part. Jesus agrees and says, "Do this and you will live." Tension comes in for the lawyer and also for us. Jesus does not give the response that we would expect Jesus to give. Why didn't he say something like, "Believe in me and you'll be saved," or "Have faith in me"? But open your Bible or turn over your bulletin, and the words of Luke 10, verse 28 stare you in the face, point blank. "Do this, and you will live." That is, love God with every ounce of your being, in everything that you do, and your neighbor as yourself. Because perfect love fulfills all the commandments. And essentially, Jesus tells this lawyer to love perfectly and love everyone as yourself to inherit eternal life. There's no list, but there's tension here. And the tension increases. Still desiring a list that he might fulfill, the lawyer asks, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answers with the story of a man that is stripped, beaten, and left half dead. And the only one who helped him is the Samaritan, the outcast and despised person by the Jews. But he risks his life and takes care of him. And he goes above and beyond to make sure that he recovers. So who is the neighbor to the man? It is, of course, the Samaritan, the despised outcast. Even the despised people are your neighbors. There's no list of neighbors. It's not the person who lives down the road, the person that is in your family, or the people that are in your country. Everyone is your neighbor. So love everyone as yourself. And Jesus says, you go and do likewise. Can you feel the tension? This is the standard of God's law. Love perfectly and love everyone. Have you ever loved God with every last bit of your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Every spare minute of the day. Have you ever loved anyone completely as yourself? I mean completely. The outcast, the despised, the people we don't like. Because of this human nature, most of us have all found ourselves steering clear of someone in need and quickly justifying our actions with, I can't miss my tea time, or I wouldn't even know how to help anyway. But perhaps we do decide to help. Ah, but not so fast. We're not off the hook quite yet. Bad motivations have a way of creeping in on us, no matter what we do. Like, I'm only going to help if at least I get a thank you. Or, I hope this person will like me. Or, maybe someone will see me helping out. And maybe afterward we may think, I was a pretty good person today. God must be pleased with me. So, is it really loving your neighbor as yourself? If there is a hidden agenda of your standing before God or other people. Because let's be honest, our selfish thoughts and motivations have a way of creeping in no matter what we do. Love perfectly? That's impossible. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That is the payment for breaking the perfect law of the Lord. God's law requires perfection. And sometimes we may get this idea that we are scoring points before God to improve our standing and to make Him love us more. But even the good that we do is contaminated by sin. Our good works are like filthy rags before the Lord. Yet the law of the Lord says to love perfectly. That's the standard. Perfection. I recently traveled to Washington, D.C. in an attempt to get a visa for my exchange program to Brazil. And arriving there, I found out that they don't take cash, but only a U.S. postal money order as payment. And shortly after, I came back in the afternoon with my money order in hand and my application, and was told that they only allow visa pickups in the afternoon. They would not even look at my application and mail it back to me, no matter how much I pleaded, no matter how far I flew. That is how the law is. It requires perfection and shows no mercy. The lawyer seeking a to-do list asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But there is no list. Only one thing. Love. Jesus responds, love God and everyone perfectly. That is the scary standard of the law for sinners. That's impossible. And if this is the standard, who then is able to be saved? Well, later in Luke's gospel, that's the same question that people ask after a rich man asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. After the man had told Jesus that he fulfilled the commandments, Jesus told him that he was still lacking and he needed to sell everything he had and follow him. But he went away sad, for he was unable to do it. And later the people asked, who then is able to be saved? And Jesus answers, what is impossible with men is possible with God. When Jesus was speaking to this lawyer, he wanted him to ask the same question. Who then is able to be saved? The lawyer was still trying to justify himself before God. He wanted a to-do list that he could try to accomplish and inherit eternal life. The truth is that we need to be broken by the impossibility of keeping the law before we can ever truly know what the gospel means. The perfect law of God has done its job when it breaks this idea that we play any part in our salvation, even to the slimmest, minutest degree. For those broken by the perfect law of God, the words of the gospel come in, and they are sweet. They are as sweet as honey, like a glass of water to a parched mouth, like rain after a drought. They give peace beyond all understanding to troubled hearts. What is impossible with men is possible with God. Our God is not just the God of the perfect law, but He is also the God of mercy. We find the words of 1 John. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, dear friends, let us love our neighbors because of His love for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's very Son came into this world. He lived perfectly, loved perfectly, and forgives your sins. He does the impossible for you. The one who is outcast and rejected has acted as your neighbor. He took upon Himself the burden of your sins and nailed them to a cross. He died the death that we deserve for our violation of the perfect law. Oh, the cross, that great exchange where Jesus takes our sin and gives to us eternal life. I have a professor at the seminary named Dr. Gibbs. And he always gives a unique response when you ask him, "How are you today?" He always answers, "I'm baptized," and then smiles and walks by. Now, isn't that a wonderful way to look at our lives? For in baptism, it encompasses the entire life of the Christian. In baptism, you are not only a neighbor to God. He has called you His child, washes you clean of your sins, and gives you eternal life bought by Christ on the cross. You are redeemed. Yet there is another part of baptism. We are now commissioned to go out and serve because of what has been done for us. You no longer do good in an attempt to score points before God. There are no more points to be scored. The game is over. The battle is done. The victory is won. The triumph of the empty tomb is yours. And your standing before God relies completely, 100%, without a doubt, on Christ and what He has done for you. Because if salvation depended on the slimmest amount of our work, then we would always be asking, "Did I do enough?" But Christ's work on the cross is more than enough. That is the goodness of the gospel. And we also hear the words of Jesus, "Go and do likewise. Love your neighbor as yourself." But as Christians, we do not hear these words as a standard to achieve salvation. There is freedom here, sweet freedom. We are now free to help our neighbor simply because our neighbor needs help. No hidden agendas, scoring points, or better standings to make God love us more. He loves us completely because of Christ. And now we help our neighbor simply because he or she needs help. A neighbor who has real needs. Someone who needs an encouraging word. Someone who needs help around the house. someone who might need a few extra dollars for lunch, someone who needs a friend, someone who needs to know what love is. That is truly caring for your neighbor. And this is the freedom to live as a baptized child of God. Quite possibly the most misquoted saying by Martin Luther is, "Sin boldly." Now, as Lutherans, you may have heard this, you may have heard jokes about this quote as a license to sin with a cavalier lifestyle. But that's not what Luther means here. He was speaking with a friend who began to feel the burden of his sins weighing on him so much that it was keeping him from doing anything because he didn't want to break the perfect law of God. And so Luther told him, "Sin boldly. Help your neighbor because your neighbor needs help, even when you feel the sin of bad motivations. And then seek the Lord's forgiveness that is secure in Christ, because bad motivations always have a way of creeping in. That is the sin that still lives in this temporal body, trying to convince us that we are more important than God or our neighbor. But when our neighbor is in need and selfish motivations want to hold us back from helping, we help anyway. For which is worse, helping our neighbor with the knowledge of our sin and bad motivations, or not helping at all? Do not let the devil keep you from helping your neighbor by accusing you of your sin. You are completely forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Christ. You are washed clean in baptism. Sin no longer has a hold on you. You are free to help your neighbor simply because your neighbor needs help. And God will use you right where you are, at your home, at your work, on the road. There is no need to worry about what the right to-do list is for life. It's some way to achieve our salvation. There's no list for the Christian. And thank God for that. You have the freedom of Christ to do what your hands find to do. Loving God and your neighbor as you have been loved by Jesus. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Not his law or a to-do list to achieve salvation, but as baptized, redeemed, bought back children of God, we joyfully hear the words of Jesus saying, "Go and you do likewise. Go and you do likewise." Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.